It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Presidential immunity, that is the question before the high court today. Do presidents have blanket immunity? Is it just for personal stuff? Is it private stuff? Is it presidential stuff? That's the question. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We will be there live on Friday, May 3rd. So join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, it's a good happy hour today, too, because we got my buddy Jack Tomasello coming in. And Jack is bringing wine. So it's going to be an extra special happy hour. No question about it. All right. Good. Excellent. Now, the question of presidential immunity is, in my opinion, it's very, very easy to understand. Every scenario that was played out today in court, where they brought up things that presidents, plural, did in the past. And by the way, we're streaming live on YouTube right now if you want to jump in. We haven't done YouTube in a while, but it's going to be live today for the whole hour. So feel free to tune in if you like. YouTube.com, 1210 WPHD. All right. All these presidents did stuff in the past that you could wonder now whether or not at the time, I just fall out of my chair, whether or not it should have been illegal to do. At the time that they did it, though, it was deemed legal. But the question is, what happens when things change? Now, the example that was given in court today is the internment of Japanese Americans. So Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Mr. Internment, decides we're going to take Japanese, German, and Italian Americans, and we're going to take them from their homes without due process and put them into concentration camps for their own safety, but also because we believe there could be espionage. So the Supreme Court at the time gets the decision. This guy Korematsu sues, and the Supreme Court says the president is within his authority to do this. However, many decades later, the Supreme Court overturns Korematsu and says, nope, presidents cannot do this to people. This was wrong, and it was a profound reversal by the United States Supreme Court. So now the question is, did FDR break the law? If Franklin Delano Roosevelt was alive today, and first of all, you'd say, well, I mean, you look remarkable. How were you able to do it? But if he were alive today, and at the time he did it, it was legal, but now it's not legal anymore. Now it's unconstitutional. Can you go back and prosecute him? So this is the scenario that came up regarding this very, very subject today. Take a listen.
It is correct, Justice Alito, but I think that we should also consider the history of this country. As members of the court have observed, it's baked into the Constitution that any president knows that they are exposed to potential criminal prosecution. My friend says after impeachment and conviction, we don't read the impeachment judgment clause that way, but it's common ground that all former presidents have known that they could be indicted and convicted. And Watergate cemented that understanding. The Watergate smoking gun tape involved President Nixon and H.R. Haldeman talking about and then deciding to use the CIA to give a bogus story to the FBI to shut down a criminal investigation.
I mean, Mr. Sauer and others have identified events in the past where presidents have engaged in conduct that might have been charged as a federal crime, and you say, well, no, that's not really true. This is page 42 of your brief. So what about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged under 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against civil rights?
Today, yes, given this court's decision in Trump versus United States, in which where the court said Korematsu was overruled. I mean, President Roosevelt made that decision with the advice of his attorney general. That's a layer of
safeguard.
Is that
really true? I thought Attorney General Biddle thought that there was really no threat of sabotage, as did J. Edgar Hoover.
So I think that there is a lot of historical controversy, but it underscores that occurred during wartime. It implicates potential commander-in-chief concerns about the exigencies of national defense that might provide an as-applied Article II challenge at the time. I'm not suggesting today. But the idea that a decision that was made and ultimately endorsed by this court, perhaps wrongly, in the Korematsu case, would support criminal prosecution under 241, which requires under United States versus Lanier that the right have been made specific so that there is notice to the president, I don't think that would have been satisfied.
All right. Well, we could go through other historical examples. I won't do that. Let me just touch briefly.
Now, they went through a lot of historical examples. And she said, I mean, the Solicitor General, the guy helping the special counsel said it. He said, yeah, you know what? Now FDR could be charged. But at the time, no. No, at the time, it was legal, but now it's not legal anymore. This is the problem with going down this road. This is the problem with now you look through the lens of the past and you go, what the president did at the time, he shouldn't have done. But at the time he did it, he thought he was acting in the best interest as president. He thought it was legal. So in Donald Trump's case, Donald Trump said, I believe the election was stolen. There was evidence that the election was stolen. I have a job as the chief executive. I have to take care of the laws faithfully executed. I had to make sure the election was not stolen. Whether he was right or wrong is not relevant. FDR believed that he had to put the Japanese into internment camps because of espionage. And there you heard the special counsel go, well, he did it on the advice of his attorney general. And then the justice says, well, did he really? Because the attorney general and the FBI director both didn't think that there was any merit to this. So then now do presidents then have to get the okay from the attorney general before something's legal? And if the attorney general disagrees, does that make it a crime? You can go down this rabbit hole on every single president that we've ever had. And literally, Lyndon Johnson lies about the Vietnam War. You've got Gerald Ford pardons Richard Nixon. Was that obstruction of justice? Barack Obama drone strikes, kills an American citizen. Bill Clinton launches attacks to distract from Monica Lewinsky. George W. Bush launches the Iraq War under false pretenses. On and on it goes. And the only question is, are these acts immune from criminal, not the Congress, but criminal prosecution? And the answer has to be yes, period. And then you get into this other little game, which is, well, what happens if it's a personal private act? Like what? Like what, for example? I've brought this scenario up before, too. Presidents go and they walk around a lot of time and they go around. They get free stuff. So now I'm president of the United States and I'm walking through the streets of Philadelphia and I go by Geno's and Pat's and they both give me cheesesteaks and I don't pay for them. And it turns out now that they actually did have a bill for me. But I just thought, well, I'm president. I don't have to pay for anything. And, you know, nobody picked up the tab. And now I get charged not that they would charge you in Philadelphia with theft, but I get charged with theft on the state level. Can I be prosecuted on the state level? The state level question came up today. Well, was I acting in my private capacity as president or was I acting as a person who was just eating a cheesesteak? I mean, I'm still the president. Everything I do is presidential. So then how do you make that distinction? It's very simple. Congress. The impeachment clause. They make the decision. And if the president gets away with it, meaning that they didn't find out about it during his term, too bad. Too bad. Because the president is always the president. And you heard the special counsel's guy say, and he said this repeatedly, he said, the president can be prosecuted criminally if it's an official action after he is impeached and removed by the Senate. Then he can be criminally prosecuted. So in other words, in the case of Donald Trump, he was acquitted by the Senate for January 6th. They acquitted him. They impeached him in the House. He was acquitted in the Senate. So now the other question is this double jeopardy for Donald Trump? Because if the basis is that a president can be charged criminally after the political trial of impeachment, but only if he's removed from office, and Donald Trump was not removed from office, then that means now you're putting the guy in double jeopardy. He's already answered for those charges. He's already answered for those charges, and he was not removed. In the political process, they said it. They said the only way you can charge a president for his official capacity is if he's removed from office by the Senate. Donald Trump was not removed. Therefore, how can you charge him in his official capacity as president? And they go, well, he wasn't acting in his official capacity because he was acting as a candidate for president, running for president, and he wanted the election results overturned so that he could win. Well, also, what if he actually wanted the election results overturned because he believed that it was stolen and he had to do what's right by the Constitution to make sure that the election was not stolen? Just break down for me the difference between official capacity and personal capacity in that matter. And you can't. You can't. Because presidents are always the president. They don't give it up. It's that you don't take a weekend off. You don't wind up having spring break and you're not president that week. You're president all of the time. So what are really your private actions? What are your private actions? They go bribery. Well, bribery is covered in the impeachment clause. President took a bribe, and that is something where you have to high crime. Bribery is literally listed in the Constitution. So then what you have to do to the president is you have to charge him in the House, you try him in the Senate, and if he's removed in the Senate, then you can criminally charge him. That's what they said today. Then you can criminally charge him. What else could the guy do in his private capacity? Say, for example, he has a poker night at the White House, and he's playing poker and he's broken the law. That is private capacity? What if he's doing it with the Attorney General? What if he's doing it with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and he's playing poker? Is he breaking gambling laws, or is he being a private person right there? Or is he being the president? I mean, you could do this all day. Justice Gorsuch broke it down very, very well when he started talking about the issue of facts. Facts over feelings moment with Jack Smith's attorney, Michael Dreeben. This is a very important point here. And Gorsuch is fantastic on this stuff. He really is. Thank God he's on the court. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, New Jersey's premier full-service resort, conference center, and top beach destination, wedding venue, and we'll be there live on Friday, May 3rd for our live show. I want to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here's Gorsuch. Take a listen.
For sure.
Justice Gorsuch, right? Can I try one more time?
Well, let me just
clarify.
Spin this out just a second,
okay.
Right? And it didn't matter what the president's motives were. We're not going to look behind it.
Right.
And same thing in Nixon. We said, gosh, in Nixon versus Fitzgerald, that's something courts shouldn't get engaged in because presidents have all manner of motives. And again, I'm not concerned about this case, but I am concerned about future uses of the criminal law to target political opponents based on accusations about their motives, mm-hmm. whether it's reelection or who knows what corrupt means in 1512. Right. We don't know what that means. Maybe we'll find out sometime soon. But the dangerousness of accusing your political opponent of having bad motives. Mm-hmm. And if that's enough to overcome your core powers or any other limits, reactions, thoughts.
Yeah. So I think that you're raising a very difficult question.
That's the idea, right?
I mean, that is the idea.
Testing the limits of both sides' arguments.
And I'm going to say something that I don't normally say, which is that's really not involved in this case. We don't have bad political motive in that sense.
I understand that. I appreciate that. But you also appreciate that we're writing a rule for the ages.
Yes.
We're writing a rule for the ages. And this is the key point of this. We're writing a rule for the ages. So now you have a situation where presidents in the future will have to think about their actions in the terms of, can this be something that I get charged with? So the Barack Obama drone strike example, again, here's Justice Kavanaugh asking if Obama should be prosecuted over his use of drone strikes against civilians, cut number five.
How about President Obama's drone strikes?
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply to the executive branch. The president wasn't personally carrying out the strike, but the aiding and abetting laws are broad. And it determined that a public authority exception that's built into statutes and that applied particularly to the murder statute because it talks about unlawful killing did not apply to the drone strike. So this is actually the way that the system should function. The Department of Justice takes criminal law very seriously. It runs it through the analysis very carefully with established principles. It documents them, it explains them, and then the president can go forward in accordance with it. And there is no risk of prosecution for that course of activity.
I have a memo that says I'm allowed to whack this guy. Here's the memo. Dear Mr. President, yeah, take him out. We've reviewed the law. You can whack this guy. Great. I got my legal memo right here. I'm good. I'm good to go because I got my memo. My lawyers wrote me a permission to kill letter. So now take him out. But it turns out I only did it to help my poll numbers because I was really, really unpopular. And I knew that by killing this guy, I was going to be hugely popular. So was I acting in my official capacity or was I acting as president? Now, here's Justice Sonia Sotomayor. What if the president orders someone assassinated to assassinate a rival? All right. Now it's not Anwar al-Awlaki. Now it's Hillary Clinton. I'm going to kill Hillary Clinton. I'm Donald Trump and I'm going to order Hillary Clinton's death. And I'm going to do so because she's my political rival and I'm going to take her out. All right. Cut number six.
Malum in se is a concept long viewed as appropriate in law, that there's some things that are so fundamentally evil that they have to be protected against. Now, I think, and your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it, if the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons.
No, he's not doing it.
At, like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist.
Stop it right there. She says Obama did it to protect the country from a terrorist. What if it turns out that Anwar al-Awlaki was not a terrorist and Barack Obama did it for his own selfish reasons to help himself get reelected? This is the problem when you go down this road of saying what the motive of the president's actions were. And then the motive determines whether it was a presidential action or not. So my rival running for president also happens to be like in that show Homeland. You remember that show Homeland, Matt DeSantis? Did you ever watch that? Used to be on Showtime years ago.
I've never seen it, but I heard it was good.
So the guy comes back and he's now a terrorist. He was a service member and he's a terrorist now. And he ultimately tries to kill the vice president of the United States, but he gets elected to Congress. Now, let's say in that real life scenario, this guy who's a congressman, I know he's a terrorist. I've got classified information. This guy's a terrorist, but he also is running against me for president. And we've got it on good authority. He's going to attack somebody. So I order the guy killed. Have I killed my chief political rival? Yes. But is he also a terrorist? Yes. But what if I didn't know he was a terrorist? Then was I acting in my personal capacity, taking out my chief political rival? Or what if I just thought he was a terrorist, but it turns out he actually was my chief political rival, and I didn't know he was my chief political rival. So then was I only acting as president? Because I didn't really see the guy's poll numbers. I mean, how can you go down this road of stupidity and hypotheticals and then say, as long as you're doing it to protect the country, then it's okay. But if you turn around and do it and you have any gain on this whatsoever, now it's not. You've crossed the line. Because if I'm president, isn't my goal to be popular? Don't I want to be popular, Matt DeSantis? Don't I want to be a popular president?
Who doesn't want to be popular?
Right. And don't I want to have high poll numbers?
You need high poll numbers to get anything done and to run for re-election.
So then every action I take is for my benefit as president personally, but also for the nation's benefit, because if I'm popular, I'm successful, I can get crap done. Right? So in that sense, everything I do is about me, but it's also about the country. Yes or no? In that scenario, you listening to me? DeSantis, where'd you go?
Oh, sorry, I'm setting something up. Yes.
All right. In that scenario, if I'm trying to make myself popular,
yes,
because I know that I can get my legislative agenda through if I am popular,
makes sense.
Then everything I'm doing then is for my own benefit.
That sounds like it would make sense. Yes.
So if I lock up Japanese people, I'm doing it to make myself stronger.
Abhorrent, and yeah, the argument makes sense.
If I wind up now having the National Guard fire on college students to kill them, am I doing it because I want to take out these crazy protesters? Have I committed murder? Have I saved lives? Have I done this just to boost my poll numbers? All of these things are become questions, and everybody knows the answer to this is that presidents do everything because they think it's going to help them. They do everything they do is in their own best interest. The one exception to that, which they brought up today, is Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon. And they said, could you go back and say that he obstructed justice by pardoning Richard Nixon? Gerald Ford lost re-election because of the pardon against Richard Nixon. So he's the one guy who did something unpopular that they actually brought up today in the context of the Supreme Court that cost him the election. LBJ lied about the Vietnam War, cost him the election. George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, all these guys in all these hypothetical scenarios, it comes down to one question and one question only, which is, can you go back and charge a president for something that he at the time thought he was doing the right thing to do? Here is John Sauer, the attorney for President Trump, summing this up beautifully, I think. Cut number two.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office. The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies?
Yes.
The answer to all these questions is no.
Yes.
Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure. The original meaning of the executive vesting clause, the framers' understanding and intent, an unbroken historical tradition spanning 200 years, and policy considerations rooted in the separation of powers all counsel against it. I welcome the court's questions.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent summary. Excellent summary. But I got an even better summary for you. And this comes from a construction worker in New York City who was asked about and this is the one I sent you today, Matt. Hopefully you bleep this. This guy.
Hang on. I have not bleeped it.
Oh, you got to bleep this. It's 11
right,
seconds,
second.
But you better bleep it. This guy's got a hard hat on today. And they asked him, they went up to him and they said to him, New York. It's New York. These blue collar guys love Trump. They love this. And This guy sums it up for everybody, but I don't know, DeSantis just disappeared. Well, he had to go in the other room.
Did he go bleep it?
Oh, you can't, you don't have a bleep machine in there?
It's not like that.
Oh, come on.
No, it's very tedious.
See, if I were president, I'd have you killed. I would, Henry. I'd have you killed. I would.
I'm not the one who went to go bleep it.
Turn your camera on. Can you have everybody see you?
I don't have it on.
Come, turn your camera on, please.
I don't have the capability right now.
You don't have the capability to turn your camera on?
Correct.
The ladies want to see you. I get all these
I know.
Hot chicks in the Zilli army want to see you. They all want to. They're all want to see
Henry. Let me work on it real quick. See if I can get it going.
Fine. See, what I would do if I were president is I would go in there and I would go on a killing spree. I would kill all my political rivals and I would just say that I had files on them that they were terrorists. Prove me wrong. I'm acting in my official capacity. Anwar al-Awlaki was never convicted of terrorism. Anwar al-Awlaki was never convicted. They suspected. So I suspect that the Democrat Speaker of the House is a terrorist. I saw Homeland. I know it's possible. I have the guy killed. What are you going to do about it? Nothing, because I'm acting in my official presidential capacity. If you want to do these stupid hypotheticals, do them. But understand something, though. You can be like Justice Sonia Sotomayor and come up with these dumb hypotheticals all you want. But in real life, in the real world, presidents do actually have to make decisions that are on the very, very thin line of what is legal. And sometimes we don't even get to know about it. And they're only able to do that because they know they're not going to be criminally prosecuted. And the fear is that if I'm president one day and I get that call, I have that call, that moment, I got to make a split second decision as president to do something. But I know I could be criminally tried. You have grinded the presidency to a halt. I am frozen. I can't move. I can't make an action because I know that if I order the drone strike on that guy, yeah, I may save lives, but I may go to prison. If it turns out he's not a terrorist based on the Barack Obama precedent, I may go to prison. And based on if they go after Donald Trump and they rule that Donald Trump's actions here were private actions and not presidential actions, that means then that every time I am at a campaign event or a campaign rally, if anything happens, anything that would involve me having to be president of the United States in that moment, I'd have to leave the stage, go backstage, and then say, I'm now no longer a candidate. Now I'm acting in my capacity as president. Now give me the nuke codes. I'm going to launch them. I'm going to launch the nuke strike. But think of the time I've wasted now to make it very clear to everybody that I'm acting in my official capacity. It's nonsensical. And everything the president does, he does as president. Everything. This is a construction worker in New York, though, and I think he summed it up even better than Gorsuch did today. Go ahead.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
You.
That's right. That's my man right there. That guy should argue before the Supreme Court today. Do you have Jamie Raskin on his killing spree?
Yeah, I do have that.
All right, save that for me. Let me get a little wine in me first, because Jack Tomasello's here. Or get a little wine in me, and I'll talk about Jamie Raskin's fantasy where the president goes on a killing spree. But I want to tell you about my friends at Natural Lawn of America. They are going to give you the green grass that you deserve, a beautiful, healthier lawn, safer for your family and pets. Call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years, and you're going to love the results. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for over 35 years. Their certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs, and this environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and pets. Natural Lawn is locally owned and family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. They are competitively priced, and they have a satisfaction guarantee. I trust the leader in organic-based lawn care, and you should too. So give them a call today. New customers can take advantage of Natural Lawn's unbeatable offer, but you must act now. The offer expires at the end of the month. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program, and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 800-FREE-SEED or visit naturallawn.com to learn more. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. You're going to get greener grass. You're going to get fewer weeds, and it's going to be guaranteed. NaturalLawn.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
This is my favorite part of the day today. Welcome back to the show. I have my buddy Jack Tomasello in studio with me, Tomasello Winery. What's up, my man?
Hey,
great to see you. I can't hear you, though. Is his mic working, guys? Make sure his mic's on. It's great to see you, Jack.
Oh, great to see you. Great to be back here at the studio.
Now, we have a big event coming up, but most importantly, I have in my hands a beautiful Cabernet Sauvignon from Tomasello Winery. Jack, tell us about this wine, this ruby-colored wine here. Beautiful color.
Well, the one you have in front of you is a 2019. It was grown in the Outer Coastal Plain, which is our viticultural region in South Jersey. And that has a combination of three reds varieties in that. It's a 75% Cabernet Sauvignon, 20% Petit Verdot, and 5% Cabernet Franc. So it's a blend of the three of the Bordeaux reds. It's aged in French oak, and it's been on the market now for probably about a year.
We call that Freedom Oak, Jack.
Freedom Oak.
Freedom Oak.
Okay.
It smells delicious. Smells wonderful. We have a great event coming up. It's the 2024 Down and Derby Wine Festival. It's May 4th, Veterans Island on Cooper River Park, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. South Jersey's best wineries, live music and performers, food trucks, games and fun. I think it's available at visitsouthjersey.com. It's the fourth annual. Jack's been a friend of mine for a long time. He sends me wine, and sometimes it gets to my house, and sometimes I get to drink it, and sometimes it doesn't, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, salute, Chin Don. It's great to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
And here we go. Let's have a little. Oh, it's beautiful. That is beautiful. I love that. That's great. I'm not one of those guys who goes like notes of whatever. Tell me the notes I'm getting here. Notes of chocolate.
Chocolate
I'm getting. Yeah. No, what are you getting, Michelle? Are you getting some notes of, Michelle doesn't want to be on camera, but no. So a little tobacco, maybe a little tobacco. I like it.
It's that's the tannins you're
picking up. Yeah, this would be great with a steak, Jack.
Definitely.
Would be great.
I bring the steak. Sorry.
Beautiful steak. Oh, man, I love it. Now, the Palmaris, as you call it, that's the primo line.
That's our premium line.
Yeah.
Palmaris in Latin means prizeworthy. Mm. So all of these reds that are in our Palmaris line are award-winning wines. They've scored above 90 or more.
The wine does have legs. Yes, it does. I'll show them. Our friends on YouTube right now, we're streaming this live on YouTube. I have a tough job, and somebody's got to do it, Jack. It's not easy to come to work and drink beautiful, fine South Jersey wines.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thanks for having me. And this event also, for tickets available, visit southjersey.com. I'm
now
doing your job for you.
okay. Visit southjersey.com. Absolutely. Yeah. It's May 4th. Jack, tell us about South Jersey wines and why the businesses are doing great. It's a burgeoning industry and the wines are really, really good. I'm a wine guy and I love the assortment of wines. And the best thing about Jack, by the way, I have to mention is that he helps the other wineries. It's like a team. You guys all help each other together, which
I think is wonderful. We all help each other. I think it's not me just helping one of them, but it's everyone helps each other. South Jersey has sandy loam soils. We have some really good climate here, ideally for growing vinifera grapes. We've probably been the recipient of climate change because, honestly, the warmer temperatures have been allowing us to grow varieties that we couldn't grow 30, 40 years ago. Mm. So a lot of what you're seeing is just a benefit for us from a warmer climate than it was years and years ago. So, we have quite a bit of wineries in the state, and I think we're up to 60.
Wow.
New Jersey wineries all over south and north and south. And these events are really nice because you get the opportunity to come out and taste an array of wines from a lot of different wineries. And so we look forward to having people come out. People really get dressed up for this, too. This is a fun event.
It's like a derby thing,
it's a derby,
right?
Thing. Yeah. And everybody gets dressed up and has a really good time. And we always look forward to doing this one. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's I've been to several of them, and they're always a great time. And it is it's a fourth annual Down and Derby Wine Festival presented by the Camden County Board of Commissioners and Visit South Jersey. A great day with music, food, games, some of the absolute best wines from South Jersey wineries. Just go to visitsouthjersey.com and get your tickets. It is May 4th, Veterans Island on Cooper River Park, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you really do get your money's worth out of this day. It's a fantastic day. There's so much going on. And you know what else, too? You're supporting local family-owned businesses. I'm not a fan, as people know, of Yellowtail or any of that nonsense from California, those big wineries. These are mom-and-pop wineries, Jack. We're helping out mom-and-pop exactly. Jersey wineries.
Exactly. And I think you'll enjoy yourself. Just come on out. It is from 2 to 7. And I think we have a rain day, too. It doesn't work out on Saturday. Sunday's available as well.
VisitSouthJersey.com. People are asking what the link is. VisitSouthJersey.com. Can you guys put the link up on YouTube for me? VisitSouthJersey.com. And click on and get your tickets. This is delicious. I am absolutely loving this. Michelle, is this not a gorgeous wine?
Yeah, I can't describe it. I'm not good at that, but it's delicious.
Well, I wish you could see Michelle on camera. She looks better on camera than Jack or I do, but she won't come on camera with us. It's a beautiful wine. Look at those legs, huh? Look at those legs. Beautiful. And Jack, a wine like this and what goes into it and the care that's taken and all the employees and Tomasello Winery, I know also you've got events that you do. You host weddings and you've got all kinds of wonderful things. Oh, Michelle, come on. You're a little closer. Here she is. There she is on camera. Look at that. Beautiful. Good. Yes. Salute. Salute. It's also good for jobs. These wineries employ a lot of people, and they are good for the economy, and they're good for jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember, it's an agricultural business first, but people don't realize when you talk about wines, New Jersey wineries, we're all farmers. That's where it starts. It starts
right.
In the vineyard. And, you know, the grapes are grown from little seedlings all the way up to mature vines and produce fruit, and it takes at least 3 years before you pick any fruit. So there's a lot of hard work in this and a lot of love and care that goes into this in order to bring out the quality wines that we do.
And all these wineries that will be there on the Down and Derby Wine Festival on May 4th at Veterans Island Cooper River Park, all these wineries are businesses that have taken a risk to start, and it's not easy. And New Jersey's gotten better thanks to Jack's work and some of the hard work, but you had a lot of hurdles to overcome. And you still do. I mean, you still do. And you got to deal with the weather and you got to deal with everything else. By going on May 4th, you're going to be helping these wineries. You're going to be supporting them. And you're going to have a fantastic day, just a great day. Food trucks, live music and performers, and South Jersey's best wineries. Visit southjersey.com to get your tickets. What do you love about wine?
Well, I enjoy it with food. I think like most people, I enjoy a glass of wine with dinner. It's probably the only time I really get to enjoy wine, because whenever we're not having dinner, I'm tasting wine. But it's not the same as having it with food. I think wine is a food item, and it should, you know, if it's properly used with a really good meal, that's the best part of it.
See, I can drink it, Michelle, without food. I don't
drink it with food.
Yeah. people are like, well, this pairs nice with this. I'm like, yeah, and it also pairs with just nothing.
It pairs with everything, in my opinion. Right.
Right. Yeah, I'll just drink it, and that's okay. That's okay, right, to do?
That's absolutely fine. Yeah. We would encourage you to have wine anytime you like to have wine.
Yeah.
You
know? What I love about it is I think wine brings people together. It's good for your heart, and also in vino veritas.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. In wine, there is truth. But it is one of the oldest traditions in the world, drinking wine. As a family, as Italians, we love it.
That's right.
And we also understand the beauty that goes into it and the glass, and you gather around the table and enjoy it with family and friends. Bring your family and friends to the Down and Derby Wine Festival, May 4th, 2024, Veterans Island on Cooper River Park, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be a great day. Now, how many wineries do we have coming? You said
I believe
there's about 9 wineries, I believe. Yes.
Actually, I think there's a couple more than usual this time
joined
around.
In.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do.
And tickets are only $35. That's nothing. That's nothing. Don't be cheap. Just get a ticket and go. It's going to be a fantastic
day. And you can even get a designated driver ticket, too, for a very small price.
Well, look at that. A designated driver ticket. We encourage that here on the Zioli Show. We don't want any law breaking. That's good. Maybe Joe Biden can drive you home in his 18-wheeler. It's possible. Just saying. I don't make this political, but now you also have in front of you, Jack, you've got the Cabernet Sauvignon, the Syrah, you've got sparkling Brut Rosé and a Brut. So you're in the champagne biz now, but can't call it champagne.
We've always been in the champagne business.
Yeah.
Our family started making champagne around 1940, but the reason why I brought the champagne, the sparkling wines, we have to be politically correct, we call them sparkling wines.
We don't want to offend the French.
Well, don't want to offend the French. Sparkling has now become really hot all of a sudden, and it's probably the first time in my career, which is fairly long, that sparklings are as hot as they are. So I brought a few that you might like. They're dry. There's a dry Brut Rosé. The Brut Rosés are becoming popular. Mm. I also brought a Brut, and I think I brought a sparkling blueberry because I can't leave Hamilton without something that has blueberries in it.
So. Kelly and Conway would be very unhappy if you did that. So
yeah, she was a packer of blueberries when she was a kid. Yeah. So yeah, that the blueberries is still the thing about Hamilton that makes this popular is the capital of the world, the blueberry capital of the world. So we do make some blueberry products. We also make a sparkling blueberry made from 100% Hamilton grown blueberries.
Hmm. Well, I'll have you know that on New Year's Eve, my wife and I cracked open the bottle of the Brut Rosé and toasted the new year with that bottle of champagne. That very bottle right there. Yeah. Not that actual that bottle, actual, obviously. No. But and I have a friend, and she can open a bottle of champagne with that's really cool. I got to learn how to do that.
Don't miss.
Don't try in your house. Yeah.
Don't try this at home, kids. Yeah. Don't try this
absolutely
at home. Can you do that, Jack? Have
no,
you worked
I cannot,
on that?
But I do
Michelle, you could. You look like an assassin. You could
100%.
Definitely do it, right?
I have a friend of mine that can do it. Yeah, I have a friend of mine in the Dionysian Society that can do it very well.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do.
It is difficult to do, but like anything else, you know, if you get good at it, then you can show off your friends. You like turn around and say, listen, you know, if Rich made wine, it would be snarkling wines because I'm snarky. I get it. That's very, very funny. Uber and Lyft also will be available that day as well. So you can make sure you get a safe ride home on May 4th. Now you can come to the Grand Hotel on May 3rd. We have got our live show. And then on May 4th, down in Derby Wine Festival, you can have a full weekend of activities. I love it. It's fantastic. South Jersey's best wineries, live music and performers, food trucks, games and fun. Just go to visitsouthjersey.com. Michelle, as the wine is opening, I'm realizing now it's changing. You downed your glass already. Look at that. She's like, I don't know if I want to drink, Rich. I don't know. And now she downed it. Right, here, well, top me off here, will you, my friend? I appreciate that very, very much. It's good. I'm just doing this for my heart, you know. Okay. I had a cardiologist tell me, he said, everybody should have at least one glass of red wine a day.
That's true.
For their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure if one's good, four's got to be better.
Can I bank them?
Yeah.
Like if I skip a night, can I bank them and use them?
That's what I'm thinking. If one's good, one bottle's got to be fantastic for my heart, Jack.
Not every night, Rich.
I know. I feel judged. I feel judged right now.
Might not be a good idea.
Jack, you're a great guy. You're a great friend. And just real quick, Tomasello Winery, tell us about all the locations you have.
Well, we have a number of them. We're at the town of Historic Smithville and Route 9 Moss Mill Road. And we're in actually two sections of the village, one in Village Green and one in Smithville. We also have a store in Wyckoff. At Abner's Farm in Wyckoff.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own store in Lambertville on Bridge and Union Street, right on the main drag there. We have one in Cranford on Walnut Avenue. And that was open in 2020, and that's the newest one. And let me think, am I leaving somebody? Oh, Freehold, yes. We're in Wemrack Orchards in Freehold, New Jersey.
It's great.
And we have a seasonal outlet that opens up at Johnson's Farm Market. And that's in Mount Holly.
Yeah.
Mount Holly,
now that's really good. I'll tell you why I've been there before. Because the kids can play. They have a little play area and you can drink.
Everybody wins.
The kids can play and then you can have a glass of wine.
So that's going to open shortly, in another 2 weeks, and that stays open throughout the season.
Excellent.
And pretty much it.
Excellent. Good.
And Hamilton, of course. You can always visit Hamilton.
We have a guy, actually, Matt, that construction worker who was just at one of Jack's wineries. Can we play the audio of him? He just left the Tomasello Winery after doing a wine tasting. This is actual audio. This is live audio here. Take a listen.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all.
It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
You.
Yeah, you see, now that's Jack. See, wine does not usually have that effect on people where they get nasty like that. I think that guy's a beer drinker.
Might be.
You know, yeah. Wine brings out the sensual side and the romantic side and the, you know, so, yeah, that was a beer drinker. Bad example, Matt DeSantis. Don't
Sorry,
play that again. That was
fault.
A terrible example for all of us here. Well, my friend, I salute you on your success. The Tomasello Winery was started by your...
My grandfather.
Grandfather.
1933.
Who came here from Italy.
He was born here. His father came here from Italy.
Father came here from Italy, yes.
And we're now in our fourth generation.
Amazing. Amazing.
My nephew and my son are now in the business, so they're the fourth generation. So we're the old men now.
And you also partner with local breweries as well.
We do a lot of things with the breweries and the other wineries, and we do events together, and it just continues to keep growing.
Good. Well, I commend you on your success. I thank you for your contribution to the economy, to the jobs, and to giving people happiness with wine. Because I think it was Jefferson who said, "Wine is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy." Was it him or Ben Franklin? One of them.
I'm not sure.
I'm not a history guy, but I should probably look that up.
Jefferson.
Yeah. Was it Jefferson died in debt. He loved wine so much.
Right.
You know, that's going to happen to me, too. That'll be the same with me. Same thing. Unless you keep sending me wine, Jack. All right, Jack Tomasello. Right, thank you, my friend. The Down and Derby Wine Festival is coming up May 4th, 2024. Veterans Island, Cooper River Park. 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. South Jersey's best wineries, live music and performers, food trucks, games and fun. We put a link up online. Tickets available at visitsouthjersey.com. Jack Tomasello, great job, buddy. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate
it. Good to see you again.
Salute.
Always the best.
Chin
Salute.
Chin. Chin Don. Love you, buddy. You're a great guy. See, now I'm drinking wine. I love you. Michelle, I love you too. Love you. You two idiots, not so much. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stump my... I did it again. All right. Listen, the top story of the day today, though, is the Supreme Court impeachment, the immunity question. They've had some wine. The immunity question before the Supreme Court, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. The 6 o'clock hour, I'm going to get into more of the Supreme Court case with you. Got a couple of great guys stopping by, too, who are going to talk politics with me and Trump's effect on young voters. You're going to want to hear that story as well. But I got to tell you, I just had some wine, homemade wine, from my buddy Lou Vargo. Lou makes wine, and he brought a big jug over for us at the house. It's not as good as Jack's wine, but don't tell him. But he's an amateur, not a pro. And Garden State Earthworks is your drainage solution. That's who you want to call if you have any water problems on your property. Don't trust a landscape company to solve your drainage issues. You need the experts, the specialists, the people that I use in my house, Garden State Earthworks. So I first met Lou years ago. We had a wet basement in our first house. He told me when I met him, "I promise you, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement again." We never did. And we became really good friends. Years later, moving to our new house, and the backyard is a swamp. So Garden State Earthworks comes and drains the water away, and we have no more problems. They are extremely busy this time of year, but they will make you a priority if you call them at 856-848-4444 and tell them I sent you. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com. How do you know you have water problems? Well, it's easy. Is water getting inside your home? Is it causing your pool liner to shift, causing damage to your hardscaping or your landscaping? Water problems never get better on their own. You need the experts. GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.